Why don't you say, preach the word, Pastor?
Come on and let's praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his holy name. He's worthy. He's worthy, isn't he? Praise the Lord. I give honor today to this precious congregation. So good to be in the house of the Lord with you all. Amen. Doesn't it feel good today in the house of the Lord? Amen. Just the sweet presence of God moving throughout this place. Amen. God is speaking and ministering to hearts and changing souls. And praise God, we're just loving the Lord around this place. Praise God. Amen. Is anybody tired this morning? Come on. Is anybody tired this morning? There's a spirit of tired in this place, isn't it? Praise God. This week was probably the busiest week that Sister Cook and I have ever had as pastor and wife. This was a brutal week. A good week. I'm not taking away from anything, but a tough week and a busy week in setting up and tearing down. Amen. And taking part in so many different things. We had a graduation on Friday night and then back up early on Saturday, and there we had a funeral. Amen. And then just different things that we had to do. Praise the Lord. But I want the congregation to know, I don't want to get so busy that I miss the presence of God. And I don't want to get so busy serving that I don't miss the good part. Is that all right? I'm just going to be real this morning. I'll never forget the very first message that I was privileged to preach many, many years ago. And I preached about Mary and Martha. And Martha was cumbered about with much doing, but Mary was found at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus went on to say, she has chosen that good part. Amen. I know that there's doing that has to be done. And I've wondered about that scripture many times. Martha was doing everything that had to be done. Amen. But still, Mary chose the good part. I don't know about you, but I want the good part. Amen. Praise God. I know scripture tells us, be not weary in well doing. Amen. Praise God. We're going to keep on doing. We're going to keep on loving and magnifying and glorifying him. Praise God. Amen. I give honor today to this congregation, to everyone that are gathered inside of this house. Amen. All of our guests, we are so glad to have you here today. Praise God. I give everyone honor. Praise the Lord. Y'all going to help me preach today? Amen. All right. Praise God. Amen. Look at your neighbor and smile. Say, God is good. Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. I wanted to thank the youth department. And I'm telling you, I appreciate you guys so very much. Not that we don't appreciate everyone, but let me tell you something. There's strength in youth. Amen. And when those youth dug in and helped us around this place and doing everything, all of those this past week that have worked so hard in doing in making and preparing. I want to tell you today that you deserve honor today for all that you've done. And I appreciate you guys for everything, for every pan clean, for every floor that was swept. Amen. For every vacuum that was picked up. I want to tell you today that I appreciate you. And I want us to know today there's more to worshiping God than lifting our hands to the Lord. Is that all right? There's more to loving and worshiping God, amen, than there is running around the front aisle. Amen. There is a doing, and I'm going to talk about that this morning. Praise God. I was getting ready and wound up yesterday evening, and the Lord drove me into the prayer room, and I began to talk to the Lord, and God began to speak to me and gave me a message, and I want to go a little deeper today, and I'm going to challenge us. And we may not be jumping our pews, but sometimes we need to hear a deeper word. Amen. We need to be challenged in our commitment and challenged in our relationship with God. Sometimes, let me preach. Sometimes we need to get the chip off our shoulder. Quit being offended at everybody, everyone and everything, and realize that this goes deeper than that. Do I have a relationship with Christ as I ought to have? Amen. If you would turn with me to Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke, the 14th chapter. Praise God. We're going to go to the 25th verse. Luke 14, beginning at 25. And you don't have your paper Bible. It is on the wall, and we'll cover these scriptures. Praise God. Luke 14, beginning at 25, it said, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said to them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, that scripture is very impactful, and it's impactful enough that I want to read it again. And I want you all to consider the words that are being spoken in this scripture. He said, if any man, and here I want you to know that man was interjected by King. Scripture originally read, if any come to me. So we're not just talking about man. If any come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be ridiculed by this world about a lost walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to be commended by Christ himself, because I've held on, that I've persevered, that I've loved God through it all. Amen. I want to preach on this topic today, the true cost of discipleship. The true cost of discipleship. I know sometimes it gets on our nerves. You know, when the man behind the pulpit says, turn to your neighbor. You know, it's just, you know why? We don't like being told what to do. And you know, but if you could, would you tell somebody today, before you're seated, it costs something. It costs something to be a disciple. How many know this is not for free? Amen. Salvation is a gift from God, but let me tell you something, it costs something. It costs something. Could we ask the Lord to bless this word? God, we love you again, and we are so thankful for the anointing of God, the presence of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, God, that today we would hear your words, challenge us today with the truth. And let it, Lord, to hide itself in our hearts, God. Oh, that we might not sin against you, but Lord, that we would love you. God, that we would seek you, Lord. That we would build a relationship with you, God, that we might finish our race. Lord, that we may be complete. We ask you this in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the church said, amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated today. Praise God. If we were to go to the book of Matthew chapter 6, beginning at the 14th verse, we would find the words of Jesus saying this, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. How many know that Jesus was in investing? And Jesus taught in investing. He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Those things that you esteem so highly, that is where you're going to find your heart. Amen. Today, if I were to ask you, what is your most prized possession? What thing is it that you love so dearly? And we were to be completely honest, I wonder what our answer would be. Amen. Would it be our home? Would it be our car? Would it be our collections? Would it be all the things that we possess, whatever they would be? Would it be our properties? Would it be our businesses? Would it be some inherited heirloom that we have received that we are so proud to have? Amen. That we would consider irreplaceable? What would your most prized possession in this world be? And right now I can feel the clicking of minds as everybody begins to turn over all of those prized possessions that we have. And I'm going to touch on this in a moment. I know today that there are things that we have and things that we hold. Amen. And I'm not against all of those things, and neither is the Lord, but I'm going somewhere here. I wonder, what things do we value the most in our lives? What things do we count the greatest treasure? Amen. I was sent a picture this past week of, I have my grandchildren, my children that I love dearly. They're my life. Amen. But as everyone that knows Remy, amen, she gets a favorite here and there. And if you're not in amongst her favorites, she's a tough cookie. Ain't that right, Sister Ashley? She's a tough cookie. Amen. But this week, we were down after graduation, and she hopped in my lap. And for a few moments, me and her laughed together. And then Sister Ashley got some pictures, and she sent to me. And I want her to know that I grabbed those pictures, and there's a couple in particular. I'll cherish them things forever because they meant something to me. And they're not expensive. Amen. They didn't cost much. The phone may have. Amen. But the pictures didn't cost much. Amen. But it's amazing today what we find that are so prized in our possessions. Today, if we were to consider the cost of things, just the cost of things, as of now in 2023, I want you to consider this. The average cost of a new car, if you were to purchase one, would be somewhere around $48,000. If it were a luxury car, that price would be around $67,000. That's just an average. And if you go to the car lot today, you'll find them very much more expensive. If you were to purchase a new home, the average cost of a house here in Kentucky, it's hard to believe, the average cost of a home here in Kentucky is $256,000. Sister Cook and I purchased our first one for $40,000, brand new. Yeah. How much was it? $7,000. How about that? What an investment. If we could look around today, we could be thankful that we live here in Kentucky. Because that same house in Tennessee would cost you $402,000. And if you pick that house up and you moved it to California, that very same house would cost you $843,000. I'm glad I live in Kentucky. Amen. The average price of a vacation for a family of four runs about $4,000. Some would say, oh no, we don't pay that. But let me tell you this. You need to get back out there and look at the price of rooms and condos and gasoline and stays and entertainment and all the things. You know, it kind of makes you reconsider what we're putting sometimes in missions plate, doesn't it? Amen. If your family's larger than that, guess what? So is the budget for your vacation. Amen. Some right now have vacation on the brain. Amen. I looked in this morning and about five after, I looked over and my friend, Brother Todd Ladd, I said, this is what happens in May right here. Everybody loses their mind because school is over and everybody's trying to get everything straight. And even today, families are going out of town. And that's okay. I get it. I know. Amen. Everybody is shouting because winter is over. Amen. Praise God. I told my wife riding home last night, I said, the lightning bugs are going to be out soon. You're entering my time of season. Amen. Today I know that we need homes and we need transportations and even vacations for our families. I do. I fully understand that. And we all understand that. But for a moment, we're considering just the cost of things. How much do things cost us? Amen. I'm going to submit that the true value of something is the price that someone is willing to pay. Insurance can assess your property at $200,000, but we hit a bulge in the market not long ago, and those $200,000 homes went to $300,000. For just a little bit until inflation picked up and things changed. Amen? But the true value of something is the price in which we're willing to pay. Amen? And we can esteem it, amen, worth nothing. And let me give us an example today. Amen? If you were to go to the grocery store today, you would find a loaf of bread, a couple bucks. Amen? But in some parts of the world where there is no bread, that same loaf of bread would be worth much more money because it is more prized and more needed. So if we could understand today, if you're going to assess the true value of something, of what something is really worth in your life, you're going to figure out what it takes to purchase it. Amen. As a matter of fact, when we get into items that we need or we feel that we need, amen, some of us will go into saving mode. And we are working to acquire those things, you know. Amen. I wouldn't give you $3 for a chicken. Amen. But today, if I was to ask Sister Missy what she paid for her chickens, no, if I was to ask her husband what she paid for her chickens. There is no telling how much money was spent on chickens. You want to know why? Because to her, and there's nothing wrong with that being prized as something to do and something to enjoy yourself, but I want you to see that those things that are prized, those things that matter in our life, we're willing to pay for them. Amen. We just came off of a fishing trip and had a good time, and if I heard it said once, I heard it said about three or four times, amen, Brother Nick Talsman has a very special rod that he loves with all of his heart. And he told me three times what he paid for that rod. Amen. Told me how he got some money off and how it was his prized possession, and he broke the tip of it on the fishing trip. Oh, it'll get fixed. It'll be all right. But I want you to see how
the things that we love and the things that we cherish, we are willing to go the extra mile to get. We're willing to do what we want to do. And oh my, today, if we could even look around in our homes, I wonder what we would say. You know, this is prized to me, or this is prized to me. And I saved up and I got this, and I worked and I got that. I want to tell us today that the true value of something is the price in which you're willing to pay. Amen. I don't know if you've ever been to an auction, but I have. I enjoy going to auctions, and it's been a long time since I've been to one. But I have found, amen, that usually, amen, something that everyone wants, that price will go through the roof. But occasionally you'll find a treasure that everyone undervalues. And then you're able, and that's what we all go for, isn't it? To find that undervalued item, amen, that nobody's going to bid on, that we can take it. And what do? We go tell everybody what a good deal I got. You're not going to believe what happened to me today. Everybody missed this item. They were purchasing, they were buying, amen. But I found this undervalued item, amen, and I invested. And look what I've got. I want to tell us today that the value of an item is what we are willing to pay for that item. If we deem something precious to us, something of priority or something of great necessity, we will barter, or buy these things. Amen. And if you don't believe that, you're not married. Have you ever been with your wife while she's on a mission? And she'll take you here and there and here and there and here and there until she finds what she's looking for. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, if you know of something or you deem something precious to it, something of priority or great necessity, we will borrow, barter, or buy these things. Amen. We'll go after them with a vengeance. We esteem of the greatest value of importance those things that we are so willing to invest in. Many times we'll not just stop until we acquire the thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you go after it until you get it, because where our treasure is, that's where our heart is also. Amen. Where we perceive something of high value or something of great interest and something of great importance to us, we are willing to pay the cost. Amen. In order to acquire the thing. Amen. Because where our treasure is, that's where our heart is also. I remember as a child, as a young man, and I so appreciate Brother Chris allowing our young group in here today. I remember as a young man that I was all outdoors, Brother Talsman. I was the same way. I grew up eating, living, and breathing outdoors, Brother Matt. That's all I did. And I remember as a young guy, amen, that we figured out that a kerosene lantern burned a lot less fuel than a gas lantern. And I didn't have money for the wicks on a gas lantern nor the fuel on a gas lantern. Amen. But I figured out that a bottle of kerosene fuel was cheap, and I love to fish at nighttime. Some of the young guys know what I'm talking about. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I went into saving mode in order to purchase a little lantern when I was a young guy. And I'll never forget, Brother Jonathan, that I saved and I scrimped and I saved and I scraped and I did everything I could to purchase it. And I remember, amen, at 12 years old that I finally scraped together $5 and I purchased that lantern and fuel. Now that lantern and fuel today would probably be $30. But in that day, that's what it was. And that $5 was hard to come by when I was a young guy. You didn't just find $5 on every corner. Amen. But I worked so hard to acquire that. I wonder today what the true value of our spiritual lives would be. What would the true value of our spiritual lives be if we were to put a value on of the price upon them. And I know that our automatic response is, well, it's the most important thing in the world to me. It's everything. It's everything that I am and everything that I will be. It's everything. But today, if we were to consider the cost or the price paid for our spiritual lives, I wonder where that would find us. We're all acquainted with our financial portfolios. Anybody heard that word? Amen. That's the older we get, the more we become acquainted to that word. You know, when we start looking at investments that were made. And I know today, amen, we're not a rich bunch of people. We're just common folks that have done everything we can to get by. Amen. But we begin looking as we near that age, don't we, Brother Danny, that we begin to look at Social Security and we begin to look at whatever 401k that we've got, and we begin to look at whatever we've acquired or whatever we purchased and add that to our portfolio. And through the process of that portfolio, we try to weigh that out against what it's going to take to live the rest of our lives. Amen. I asked Brother Donnie, I said, Brother Donnie, how's retirement going? He said, it's going good as long as the money holds out. Amen. But we got to look at all the things that we have put in order that at that time, that when it comes due, I'm able to take out into something that I have put into. I mean, let me bring it into modern day. You will never have a power-packed life with a firecracker prayer life. You will never have a dynamic spiritual life, amen, with a snap-and-pop prayer life. I always thought they were the biggest dud in the world. I never could understand why somebody would buy a snap-and-pop. You know, one of them things, you know, you're white, throwing the ground, pops. I always thought, even as a kid, I thought that's the cheapest thing in the world. I never knew why somebody would buy something so silly. I love fireworks so much that even after the 4th of July, we didn't have a lot of money. We'd get up on the 5th of July. We would scour the neighborhood and gather every firecracker with 1 millimeter of wick. It's a wonder we have fingers left today. Amen. And when it didn't have a wick, Brother Matt, we would split them in half, light them, and stomp on them, and they would blow. I'm causing trouble in this place today, I know. Amen. But let me tell you today, you will never have a powerful, powerful spiritual life if you don't invest in that spiritual life. Let me speak to our ministry. You'll never have a powerful ministry if you don't invest in your ministry. What is the value of the thing that you own, and how much are you putting into it? Amen. Let me talk to us today of spiritual economics. That's a new word. Don't know if it is one, but it is after today. What does our spiritual portfolio look like today? What investments have we made in our spiritual portfolio? How much are we spiritually invested? Amen. Let me give us some things to consider today. You and I will never invest very much into something that we do not feel that will give us a good return. Amen. You know, we go through these things in our life that we are dealing with flesh. I'm doing more teaching today than anything. We're dealing with flesh, and we deal with this old flesh that don't want to pray. And we don't want to get into Scripture, and we don't want to pour our time into spiritual things. Am I right? Yeah. And we struggle with that. Let me tell you why. Because we don't deem them. You can say, oh, that I do, but let me tell you, if you do or if you will, amen, you'll invest in those things. You will never invest in something that you do not deem that you will receive something out of. Let me tell us today, amen, there's a lot of spiritual things that we need to make an investment in our lives, amen, that God would pour into us and we would have a return, oh, when we go to God in prayer.
Amen. I'll never forget my beautiful Aunt Shirley Denny. Was such a prayer warrior, was always, you walked into her house, you never knew whether she was in the back room praying or she was in the front room, living room with her husband. But I'll never forget, she came out one time, she looked at me and she said, "You can never make a withdrawal from something you've never put anything into." You want to know sometimes why some things are not coming to pass in our life? You want to know why there's some things left undone in our life? You want to know why we've got some struggles going on in life? You want to know why? Because we haven't invested enough in our spiritual portfolio. Amen. And then when we need to draw that investment out, amen, we wonder where it's at. Let me tell you this. This is the truth of the matter. And today I know it. I'm talking portfolio, but I'm not even talking money today. I'm just talking things, spiritual things that we invest. I want you to know, amen, that if you're going to draw out, you've got to put in. Amen. Let me tell you, Jesus was a master investor. And he believed in on the attitude of investing in such a manner, amen, that he even talked to us of the men with talents. And he told us I believe it's 5 and 3 and 1, amen. And he talked to us of those investments, amen. And one invested here and he came and he had some and there was a return. He said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter in." And then another one invested here. He doubled his return. Amen. He said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter in." Amen. But the last one said, "I was worried. I was going to lose it all." And he said, "I took it and I hid it somewhere. I buried it, but I've got it." Amen. Jesus said, "Thou unfaithful servant." Amen. He threw him into outer darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth. You want to know why? Because he didn't deem his spiritual life important enough that he was willing to invest in, oh my, in his spiritual portfolio. And when it came time that he needed to produce, there was nothing there. Amen. There was nothing there. Amen. We'll never, ever invest very much into something that we do not feel will give us a good return, whether it's financial or even leisure. We won't buy those things that we don't get a good return on, or we feel we'll get a good return. And we'll buy sometimes the silliest things. Yeah, we all have. There's not a person in here who hadn't bought something silly. You brought it home and you think, "I'll never use that in the world." You stick it in a corner somewhere and then later on, you know, it's nowhere. Amen. We never invest much. We never pour much, amen, into something that we're not going to get a good return on. Amen. Wherever Jesus went, he spoke and he taught continually about the kingdom of heaven and about investment. As a matter of fact, he is the one that said that if we would enter into the closet, that closet being the closet of prayer, he said, if you'll spend time in there, he said, "I'm going to reward you openly." What is that? That's a return on investment. That's a return on investment. Let me tell us today, amen, some of us need to remember that we're after the kingdom of God. Oh, come on, somebody help me preach today. We need to realize that we're after the kingdom of God. I'm after Jesus. I'm after the Holy Ghost. I'm after the anointing. I'm after power. I'm after authority. I'm after glory. I'm after goodness. But I'm never going to get something that I haven't invested in. Amen. In Matthew 13, Jesus said it like this. "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price," amen, "he sold all that he had and he bought it." When he found one pearl of great price, amen, he sold everything that he had and he purchased it. In that same chapter, he said, "Again,
The kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof, he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. The key to the scripture and the key to the kingdom is all. My. All. All, Brother Breyer, all, young folks, all. I want to tell everybody, when you're looking for the kingdom, amen, let me tell you something. You're not going to get it back without investing all. All. The key to the scripture is just simply this, all. All. All that we have. When Jesus was asked, which is the first commandment, amen, of all. I love how it works. What's the first commandment of all? What's the greatest commandment of all? What's the top priority? He quoted Deuteronomy 6 and 5. Most of us can quote that verbatim by heart. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. How many know that He's one Lord? He's not three, He's not five, He's not seven, He's not nine, as some believe. Amen. It's one, and His name is Jesus. It's Jesus. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul and all thy might. Amen. Let me tell you this. The very definition of all is this: the whole amount or quantity, in as much as possible, every individual component of the whole number or the sum in total. Let me tell us today, amen, we try to love God in pieces. We try to sink Him in partitions, but God is looking for somebody that is willing to say, God, I'm looking for You with everything that I've got, with all of my might and all of my head and all of my, oh my, today if somebody could gain an understanding of the return of investment, if you could invest all. That's not a popular message today. It's not, because we live in Western civilization that's all about us. That's a truth. That's the truth of the matter. Amen. Let me hit us all today. Amen. This is the mentality of who we are. Amen. Why? Because our very constitution grants us that right. Amen. Life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of happiness. Amen. The fulfillment of the flesh. Whatever makes you happy. Amen. All. Today, if we could understand that if we're looking for God, you need to invest all to find Him all. Amen. All. The very definition of all. All is fully invested. Lacking none. Not missing a piece. All. Everything. Amen. And again, I can feel the cogs turning in people's minds. Amen. You mean that I need to seek Him all the time, that I need to go after Him all the time, that I need to search after Him all the time, that I need to consider Him all the time. Let me tell you this. Amen. If you want all of God living on the all of the inside of you, you need to seek after Him with all that you have. I'm telling you today, I'm tired of giving myself to Him in part. I'm tired of holding out on Him. I'm tired of giving little pieces of myself to Him. I don't know about you, but I want all. I want all that I can get in the kingdom. I'm looking for all of the glory that God is willing to bestow. I'm looking for all of the power of God that is made evident in this old man. I'm looking for all the anointing of God that I can lay my hands on. Amen. And you're not going to get it without an investment of all. Amen. All. Every bit. All. Amen. All. In Luke 14, the Bible tells us, and there went great multitudes with Him. And He turned and He said this. If any man come after me. Do we have anybody in here that's after Christ Jesus? I'm asking you if you would today, just raise your hand. If you're after Christ Jesus, let me tell you what he said. If any man come after me, he said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And we try to turn that over in our mind. We try to compensate for that. We try to figure it out. We try to wonder how that can work, because I don't know about you, but I love that woman sitting right back there. Amen. She is my life. Amen. I couldn't make it without her. But Jesus said this. He said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and yea, even his own life also, amen, he said he cannot be my disciple. He was saying, if you want me, amen, you've got to go after all of me. And if you're going to get all of me, you got to give me all of you. My. Jesus wasn't telling us to hate our families. How many know that? He wasn't saying to hate your family. Amen. That goes against the commandment of God. He said, honor your mother and father. In other words, you got to love them. Why? Because they're your family. Amen. He was saying, I must become the most precious possession in your life. Above the relationships, above your careers, above all that you possess, above our life and our breath. Let me tell you how much that you've got to love God. It is with everything that you have. And if you don't love him with everything that you have, you need to dig deep down in your heart and you need to find a place that you can connect with Christ and invest all that you have, that you can get an all-time return. All that we possess, above our life and our breath. God is not looking for convenient Christians. He's not looking for convenient Christians. And today, we are living in a generation and a time of convenience. We are. Amen. The convenience age has destroyed us. Amen. We have YouTube at our fingertips. Amen. We've got Safari at our fingertips. Amen. We got cruise control at our fingertips. We got a microwave at our fingertips. Amen. Everything that we want virtually, we have it at our fingertips. You want to know why? Because we built our life around convenience. Amen. This is the only problem with that. Amen. This thing has made its way inside here and inside here. Amen. And we think that God ought to be the same way. Amen. That we can operate in him at our convenience. That we can seek after him and get an answer in our convenience. But let me tell you something. This thing don't work like that. It don't work that way. Amen. In other words, amen, you've got to seek after him with everything. You've got to love him with everything you possess. And he said this, that unless you do, you cannot be my disciple. Today, I'm not here to bring people to failure. I'm here to make us understand today, amen, that we need to fall in love with Jesus. Is that all right? I'm telling you, we need to fall in love with Jesus. Come on, I'm preaching to some in here. We need to fall in love with Jesus. We got to love Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you this. Concerning these things. Amen. Absence does not make your heart grow fonder. That's a lie that's been pitted to people by the devil himself. Amen. You can't spend time away from him. Amen. And expect your heart to grow fonder. Let me tell you something that I found out a long time ago. Amen. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you, but it's got to be reiterated. It's got to be reciprocated. Amen. He wants to have a relationship with you, but you got to have a want a relationship with him. Amen. I'm talking about a real relationship. I'm not just talking about a shouting relationship on Sunday and on Wednesday. I'm talking about a power-packed relationship with Him. Amen. That begins with intimate time with Him. That begins with an understanding of Him. That begins with a revelation of Him. I'm telling you today, amen, we need to fall in love with Jesus. That's the truth of the matter. I can hear the cogs turning. Brother Cooker, you saying I don't love God? No, I'm not saying such a thing today. But I want to tell you, there's a difference between loving and being in love. Is that all right? Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I love my mother, but I'm in love with that woman back there. That's a big difference. Amen. That's my spouse back there. Did you know that we are a spouse to Him? We are betrothed to Him. Let me say it like that. We're betrothed to Him. Amen. So we need to know today that we've got to fall in love with Jesus more than we've ever had. Amen. God is not looking for a convenient Christian. He's not desirous of part-time people. He's looking for a church that's all in. Amen. We can't just love Him on Sunday and on Wednesday. It has to be Jesus 24/7, 365. That's the truth of the matter. Amen. Jesus asked Peter this three times. He said, Peter, He said, lovest thou Me? Today, if we could take a deep look at the scripture, I think there was much tied to Peter's denial in the scripture. Peter denied Christ three times, and then after he had a complete meltdown, and that was understandable. He just saw his Lord and Savior hung on a cross, crucified and died, and he had a failure of faith. Amen. Let me tell you, we've all had those, haven't we? Every one of us have. He had a drastic event, amen, that challenged him. Amen. But let me tell you something. Jesus said, He said this. He said, when you are converted, He said, you minister to the brethren. Let me tell you this. If you go to Peter's backsliding when he was converted, he took his brothers fishing instead of taking them to the house of God. It was a complete, utter failure. So Jesus then gathered them together, amen, around a fire. And then He says this, Peter, lovest thou Me? Amen. Peter said, Lord, You know I love You. Peter, lovest thou Me? Lord, You know I love You. Peter, lovest thou Me? Oh, it grieved Peter's heart to a point that he said, Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love You. And then Jesus said this, then feed My sheep. Some would say, what in the world does that have to do with me? Love and faith are always accompanied by works. Do you hear me today? It is one thing to sit in a pew and say, I love God, and have nothing to produce in your life. It is one thing even to give in an offering plate. And I commend everyone for that. This is the givingest church. But let me tell you something. You can give your tithes every time. You can pour out offerings every time and still not have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. This thing cost something, and Jesus knew that it was going to cost something. Amen? Let me tell us today, love and faith without works are dead. You know what I'm saying? Somebody can tell you 1,000 times, amen, that they love you, but if they never do anything for you, if nothing is ever produced in their life, if there's no acts of compassion, if there's no intimacy, if there's no desire, respect, let me tell you this, you need to remeasure that one that is saying they love you. Amen? Some are with some because of convenience. Amen. Let me tell you. Amen. We are instructed to love our wife. Amen. This is a deep relationship. Amen. And it doesn't just come to our natural betrothal or espousal, but it comes to our spiritual betrothal and espousal. In other words, if I am going to make it to heaven, I have got to love Jesus. I've got to love Him. It brings a whole new meaning to this idea. Perfect love casteth out all fear. I want you to consider this for a moment. Amen. He was speaking of rapture, and he was speaking of eternal judgment. In the scripture where he said, perfect love casteth out all fear. And what he was saying is this, that if you love me enough, he said, it's going to cast out any doubt that you have, that we have a real relationship one with another. Now let me pose this question again. Do we love him? How highly do we esteem him? What have we done to prove that we love him? Do we love Jesus? And before you say, I can't believe that Brother Cook would question me on such a thing. Let me tell you, Jesus questioned Peter, the chief apostle, the one that was to become the chief apostle. He questioned him on the subject of love. Do I love him? Do I love him? Amen. Love and faith are always accompanied by works. Church, if I could ask us today, do we really love him if we're absent at altar call? Do we love him if there is no real revival in our lives? Can we say we love him if our lives are without worship and works? I want you to consider that for a moment. Amen. Can we say we love him if we seek not after his spirit? Is it possible? Amen. Let me pastor for a moment. There are some in this place that have grown a little cold. And to where used to the front place was a place of tears. Amen. And the power of God used to set. Something has happened. Amen. And then a coldness begins to set on. Amen. I don't know what it is, but you do. But let me tell you this. Paul, amen, or the Bible says this, thou did run well. I think it was the Galatian church. He said, thou didst run well. Who hath hindered you? Who hath hindered you? What is keeping you from an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? What's keeping you from that? What's keeping us from worship service? What's keeping us from anointing? What's keeping us from power and prayer? Amen. Let me tell you today, amen, if we look, amen, for a return on our investment, or if we consider, amen, the true value of something, it is always worth to us what we put in it. So what's he worth to us today? What is he worth to us today? I will never forget, I'm getting ready to close, but I'll never forget, and I know this is a different lesson, but it needs to be considered. I'll never forget that I dreamed when I was a young man and I had prayed through to the Holy Ghost and gotten married. And I was dealing with myself, dealing with flesh, and dealing with carnal thoughts and nature and just old flesh, being a young man. I'll never, ever forget that I went to bed one night and I dreamed that Sister Cook and I had been married, and she had been married before. And I'll never forget, I was living in the same home. We were living in the same house, and she knows it. I've spoken to her about it. And I'll never forget that she had pictures of a former husband all over the walls. They were on countertops, and they were hanging up. And I'll never forget that in my dream, my heart broke. It was rent. It was tore. And I remember asking her in that dream, I said, you say you love me. I said, but you haven't removed all this. And here I am having invested my life in you. And And here it is hanging on the walls. And here it is sitting on countertops and reminders of a past life and reminders of things that were done. And I'll never forget, Brother Danny, I woke up immediately and God spoke to me as loud as he's ever spoke to me in my life. And he said, "You're doing the same thing to me." Let me tell us today, do you love him? Then maybe we need to get rid of some things in our life. Oh my, I'm telling you today. Amen. We might not be running the aisles, but Brother Cook is preaching today. Do you love him enough to get rid of some things that are borderline sin? Do you love him enough that you are willing to say, "I don't want this in my life anymore"? Or do you love him enough to run to an altar and raise your hand and magnify God and say, "Lord, it's been a while"? How much do you love him? Or do you love him enough that you keep little memories of who you used to be in your life? Jesus told Peter, he said, "Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" You want to know what I believe he was doing? He was erasing in Peter's mind that three denials that he had. I believe that he was overpowering that with something that was greater, which is love. Let me tell us today, we need to fall in love. Oh my. Let me tell you this, when you fall in love with Jesus, you're not going to struggle with your prayer life. When you fall in love with Jesus, you're not going to have to be cheerleaded on Sunday morning. When you fall in love with Jesus, the preacher's not going to have to beg us to come to an altar. When you fall in love with Jesus, you'll give in the offering plate. When you fall, my God, when you fall in love with Jesus, you'll make work day. When you fall in love with Jesus, you'll make prayer service. When you fall in love, oh my, you can say, "It's not me. I ain't got to do that. I never did that." Let me ask you this. Do you love him? Come on, do you love him? Or do you love him? Amen. You're never going to do something that you don't deem. When you fall in love with him, you'll sing to the top of your voice at singing time. When you say, "Oh my," when you fall in love with him, you'll say, "Pastor, what can I do to help out?" When you fall in love with him, the altar becomes your friend. When you fall in love with him, you'll get the offenses out of your heart that'll drag you straight to hell if you'll let them. And I want you to know that if you're not careful, it'll wreck your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." Stand with me today. We're living today in a different day. If you've ever heard a message preached to you from the Lord, you've heard one today. We're living today in a different day, and it's a day of inflation that most of us have not seen. Some of us have that were alive in the 80s, and we remember what it was. You couldn't get a job at McDonald's in those days, younger generation. You couldn't buy a job. I remember when it was like that. You can't remember, but some of us older ones do. But let me tell you something, church. The laws of inflation do not apply to spiritual economics. What am I saying? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the investments that we've made in the kingdom of God will come back to us. And when we need them, they'll be there. Now let me tell us, I know that there's many times that we've deserved it or not deserved it, and he's been there. But oh, that we can invest in the kingdom of God. The cost of discipleship has never changed, ever. in a world full of inflation, this is the truth. God wants all. He wants all. Nothing less than all. Some would say, Brother Cook, that's a high price to pay. He was so firm in his teaching on this that he turned and he said, I believe sternly to people. He said, unless you hate your mother, father, sister, brother, your wife, your daughters, your family, and you love me more than all them, he said, you can't be my disciple. And I want you to see what he said next. He said, a builder, before he builds a house, will consider the cost. He said, unless when he builds, he starts and he doesn't finish it. And what Jesus was saying was this. I want you to hear me today. He was saying, if you don't think you can finish, then don't start it. That's exactly what Jesus was saying. That's how important, that's how powerful this statement was. He was saying, if you are not going to live for God with all of your heart, he said, then don't try. He said, unless you become a ridicule of people and they make fun of you, and let me tell you, in the process, they'll make fun of the church. I'm speaking to a congregation of people that have fallen 7 times and gotten up. That's what the righteous do, isn't it? It doesn't mean we don't fall, but it means we get back up. We get back up. Why? Because Brother McKeith and I've invested too much. I'm not going to turn back. I'm going to keep on living for God, regardless of who's offended me, regardless of who bothered me, regardless of what somebody said or somebody's done. Jesus told the church at Thyatira, he said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst bear them that are evil. I want you to see all the good things they had going for them. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. He said, because thou hast left thy first love. Let me tell you what commentary says. They had proceeded in Christianity with a sense of duty other than a passionate love for God. I guess I'm going to go to the altar because it's time. I guess I'm going to go to the house of God because it's time. Let me ask you today, do you remember when you got the Holy Ghost? Do you remember that clean feeling? Do you remember the sins that were washed away? And do you remember what you told the Lord? I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go any place you want me to go. I'll say anything you want me to say. Just fill me with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you today, we don't need to lose that first love. That's what God is looking for in us. I wonder today, at our altar call, could we, because we love Him, could we find a place of prayer? Doesn't matter to me whether it's in your pew, or whether it's in an altar area where it's gathered around the steps. I feel such a brokenness today. Lord, let me love you more. Let me love you more. Let me have a deeper relationship with you. I'm not in it just for the miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm here today, Lord, because I love you. I lift my hands, Lord, because I love you. I bless the Lord because I love you. Oh, let's sing a chorus, Brother Kevin and Sister Jim. Oh, could we pray today? Hallelujah.